In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. And you know what we're looking at today? The third chapter of Exodus. It is the conversion of Moses. The third chapter of Exodus. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He was the priest of Midian. We remember that Moses ran away. We remember that Pharaoh was after him. We remember that he killed an Egyptian, and he ran away. And so he goes to this place where he finds his wife and his father-in-law, Jethro. He is the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the Mount of God called Horeb. Now, you know, this was just a regular day for Moses. This is a regular day. You know, this is what he did. He's a shepherd, and the shepherd leads the sheep. So he went to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God called Horeb, you know. So he's going to tend his flock, you know. He's going to have his flock, you know, rest and eat and drink and do whatever they need to do. This is what a shepherd does. And this is what happens. And an angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And Moses looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Something happens this day that is completely different. Yes, it's the regular day to feed the sheep and to get them a good grass, and that's wonderful. But now he looks, and he sees a bush on fire, burning. But it's not consumed. It keeps on burning. Now, you know that when something burns, it's consumed. But this bush is burning, and it isn't consumed. And so Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not consumed." Now, this is the beginning of Moses' great power as well as his great trouble. I'm going to turn and look at this bush. I'm going to turn and look at this bush. Why isn't it consumed? This is weird. And when Moses saw that he turned aside to see, when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." So this is a bush where God is speaking from this bush. And he calls him by name, "Moses, Moses." And Moses says, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." This is a completely different day now. This is a completely different day. His whole life now is going to be changed. He meets the Lord. He meets the Lord. And what does the Lord say? First of all, God is holy. I want to tell you the attribute of God that is different than any other creature. God is not a creature. He is the Lord. But no entity has the experience of being holy but God. God alone is holy. And he shares his holiness with angels and with saints. That's real. But only God is holy. Only Christ is holy. Only Jesus is holy. And we're not going into that yet because that's a different story. Okay. Okay, so let's look. "Draw no nearer. Take off your sandals, because you're standing on holy ground. Moreover," he said, "listen, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is the God of history. This is the God of history, the one who revealed himself to Abraham, the one who called Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans and to go to Jerusalem, Israel. This is the God of history, the God of revelation, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not a new God. This is the one God that began to reveal himself through salvation history, through Abraham. And he identifies with that. God identifies himself with the people he revealed himself to, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. Now let me ask you why. What kind of fear did he have? Did he have fear that he would... Well, he had fear because he realized he was in the presence of a holy God. He was in the presence of someone that was very unlike him. He was in the presence of holiness. Listen, the word holy in Hebrew is kabod. The kabod Yahweh. It's the presence of the Lord, the heavy presence of the Lord. It's also kadosh, holy, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. But he's in the presence of this heaviness, this heavy glory. And what does he do? The first thing he does is hide his face. He hides his face. And not because he realized who he is communicating with. He's unlike this person. But this person chooses him. Now listen to the next line. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. They weren't even praying. They were complaining. But the Lord says, these are my people. My people that were led to Egypt by Joseph. My people that are suffering under the hand of Pharaoh. And I have heard their cry. I've heard their affliction. I've heard what their taskmasters are asking them to do. I've heard them complaining, crying out. I've heard them. I've looked on the affliction of my people, and I'm going to respond to it. Now you see, when God responds to the affliction of his people, he raises up men and women. That's what he does. How does God respond to the affliction of his people? He raises up men and women. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large land, flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto the land that I promised Abraham. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression that the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. Now this is a different story. I have heard the cry of my people. I have heard what Pharaoh is doing. And now I am going to send a shepherd after my own heart, as it says in Jeremiah, a shepherd after my own heart to go and to set them free. And you know, Moses, you're the one. You're the one. I'm sending you. Listen to Moses now. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? And God answers who he will, who Moses is. This is what he says. I will certainly be with you. God tells Moses his identity is wrapped up in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will be with you. You will not do this alone. I will be with you. You will do nothing alone. I will be with you. That's who Moses is. Moses is the man, and God is with him. The man of God, and God is with him. And Moses will do nothing because of himself, but with the Lord he will do all the things that are commanded of him. I will be with you. Now we're going to change the story a little, okay? We're going to change the story a little. Jesus says to the apostles, I believe in the 14th chapter of John, he says, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you. I will repeat that. The Holy Spirit that I will send from the Father is with you, but he shall be in you. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a big difference between God being with us and God being in us. And the difference is the sacrifice of Calvary and the resurrection and the breathing of the Spirit of God into our hearts through faith and baptism. You see, now God is not only with his people, God is in his people. The presence of God is tabernacled in the hearts of men and women who have given their life to Jesus, who live out the life of faith in the church. The presence of God is in his people, in their broken hearts. If Moses could do the great things that God called him to do, what things can we do if we would yield ourselves to the living God, to the risen Christ, to the one who gave his life for us? If Moses could do the great things that God called him to do, and yet the presence of God was not in Moses, it was with Moses. This presence of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, St. Paul says? And that your body is sacred? That's why you should not give it up to sin. That's why you should not destroy it through suicide. Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, that God dwells in you by his Spirit? Do you not know that? Do you not know you're a living tabernacle, that the Lord is present in you, not only with you? But, you know, we need the same thing that they needed during the time of the Egyptians. We need shepherds after the heart of Jesus. Shepherds that have the heart of Jesus, that beat with the heart of Jesus, that beat with love for his people, but most of all for Jesus himself and for his people. We need shepherds after the heart of Jesus that will go after the stray, that will love, that will care, that will do what only a shepherd can do. We need shepherds. We need shepherds that would tend the flock of God, God's holy people, ransomed with the blood of Jesus. We need shepherds. And the Lord raises up shepherds, but there is a price to pay. There is a price to pay. To be a shepherd after the heart of Jesus, there is a price. You'll be different. You're not better, but different. Some people think you're weird, but you know what? Who cares? And you know, we need shepherds. and not only priest shepherds, but fathers who are shepherds of their children, mothers who are shepherdesses of their children, people that would shepherd the youth, not only priests, but people that would care. I've seen this. I've seen this in the Spanish community. We went there last night, and there Raphael was playing on the keyboard. And, you know, Raphael is a shepherd. He is a shepherd. He has the heart of Jesus. Raphael speaks the word of God. I've heard him. Raphael goes to South America on missions with the lay people to preach the gospel and to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the Spanish people, the people in Mexico. Raphael is a shepherd after the heart of God. He is not a priest, but he is a shepherd after the heart of God. We need shepherds after the heart of Jesus. Because he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And they hear my voice and they follow me. He's the good shepherd. He never leaves the flock untended. But who will shepherd my sheep today? Who will shepherd my sheep in 2011? My sheep need to be tended. I do not want to look at my sheep and say they are like sheep without a shepherd. They are like sheep without a shepherd. I want to see that my sheep are tended by a good shepherd whose heart beats with the heart of Jesus. Not perfectly. You see, we can't do it perfectly, okay? Perfect, there's no such thing as perfect. But we can do it by the grace of God. We all make mistakes, but we can do it by the grace of God. We can do it. God wants to raise up shepherds after the heart of Jesus so that people know that they're loved and cared for, that people know that they don't have to take drugs or alcohol or sex, that they can live for God and they can be joyful and happy in the presence of God. But they need shepherds to tend them, shepherds to disciple them, shepherds to teach them. Shepherds to be patient with them. Shepherds to come and say the thing they need to hear, not what they want to hear. What they need to hear. Shepherds after the heart of Jesus. It's what we need today. In the priesthood. In the laity. How many lay people do I know that are shepherds after the heart of Jesus? Maria Vadia called me yesterday. She just came home from Australia, preaching the gospel in Australia, telling me of the great things that Jesus did, telling me of the beautiful bishop that just died there, and how the people were mourning because he is a shepherd after the heart of Jesus, telling me about the healings that God gave, and the deliverances and the blessings, and even jobs. She prophesied jobs, and the next day somebody got a job, and 2 days later somebody else got a job. And, you know, but she has the heart of Jesus. She's got the heart of Jesus. She loves Jesus so much. Her life has been so changed. She used to be the richest, richest woman. She had everything, everything, everything. But she realized she had nothing until Jesus came into her life. And yet she's got a heart after the heart of Jesus. And when you go to Florida, to her little community, the community of Jesus the King, that's the name of their little community, you see all these women, as well as a few men. They, you know, I'm going to tell you, her brother has the heart of Jesus, too. He's a doctor. Her brother has the heart of Jesus. They put him in the poorest hospital. He's a very bright man. In the poorest hospital, caring for all the people that nobody wants. and Rene prays with his patients. He sees great healings of cancer, and he prays deliverance for his patients. Believe me, they have a heart after Jesus and a heart after the poor. That's Maria, and that's Rene. I told you the story about Rene before. When Rene was 11 years old, he was in the choir. This is when Cuba was still intact, before Castro. And he was being fresh like an 11-year-old boy, and the teacher told him to leave the auditorium and to go outside. So there was a guy selling ice cream, and so he bought ice cream. But there was also another guy that had a pornographic book, and he showed this 11-year-old boy. From that day on, he was addicted to pornography. He was addicted. He went to every psychiatrist. He could not be free of this addiction. So he sought it in Eastern religions. Oh yeah, maybe if he went to the East and went to guru, and he went to the greatest gurus, and he got his all messed up, still addicted. Well, one day she had written her first book, and she had invited Rene, her brother, to come to the Mass. He didn't want to go, but he didn't want to disappoint his sister. I'm going to tell you what happened at that Mass. The Spirit of God came upon Rene. And his testimony is, what I couldn't do in 50 years of my life, the Holy Spirit did in 2.5 minutes. He was completely free of the addiction. Completely set free of the Eastern religion stuff. He starts speaking in other languages, starts speaking in tongues. The presence of God came upon him in a mighty way. Now, that doesn't happen to everyone like that. But I tell you, it happened to Rene. Happened to Rene. And as a result, you know, Rene has the heart of Jesus. He goes after people that nobody else wants. Shepherds after the heart of Jesus. We were with a priest last night, Father Goudreau. Shepherd after the heart of Jesus. Father Toomey, shepherd after the heart of Jesus. That's real. Father Toomey is a shepherd after the heart of Jesus. That's real. I know him. I know it to be true. I don't believe it. I know it. There's a difference. Father John. And these both are on administrative leave. Father John Shepherd after the heart of Jesus. I know it. I don't think it. I know it. We need shepherds after the heart of Jesus. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, God chooses the most unlikely. Moses, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you, and I'm going to be with you. But let me tell you, people, the Lord is not only with you, he's in you. And let's start believing that reality. That the one who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, dwells within you. That you are a temple of God, and that temple is holy. And that the Lord wants you to know that you can shepherd his sheep one at a time. Your children. Teach them. Love them. Spend time with them. Bring them to church. Bring them to confession. That you can shepherd your children. Bring them to adoration. Let them see their father pray. Shepherds after the heart of Jesus. That's what we need. I just left last Monday, not this Monday, last Monday, Lynn and Tom Shearing. They minister to the poor in the Bronx. They've been doing this for 25 years. over the tabernacle in their home because the bishop has given them permission to have the Eucharist. It's the beautiful crucifix over the tabernacle, and it says, Lord, that our heart would beat with the heart of Jesus. Tom and Lynn, they have a whole community caring for the poor in hospitals, nursing homes, out in the street, in a canteen. Shepherds after the heart of Jesus. They're missionaries. Missionaries in Brooklyn. So, Lord, raise up more shepherds. Shepherds after your heart. Shepherds that would give their whole life to you. Priests that will go out and preach the gospel and care for the poorest of the poor. Even though Moses was unequipped, he said, I even stutter. The Lord says, listen, that's not going to be any problem to me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to send Aaron with you. Listen, don't think that you're so weak that God can't raise you up. Moses' life was changed on the holy mountain that day. Never to be the same from a shepherd to the shepherd of God. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.